Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So welcome, everybody, to the Woodbury and Lauro Sports Pod Sports Center on this Tuesday. Hope everybody had a good Christmas, getting presents, watching the Lakers beat the Mavs on Christmas Day. I hope you guys enjoyed that. So, Matt, how was your Christmas, and how's it going?
Yeah, it was great. Got some good gifts, and looking forward to New Year in 2021. How was your Christmas?
It was good. Got a lot of presents. Alana gave me a shout out, which was pretty good. So Alana Rizzo's the Dodgers announcer. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So, and then we got a lot of good football games this past week. And also we got some college bowl games to talk about in our show today to so that we could pick who is going to go all the way to the college football national championship game.
Yeah.
So first, let's recap week 16. So the Seahawks defeat the Rams 20-9, but the Rams have suffered a big blow to their offense as Jared Goff is not going to play this week in this win or go home game against the Cardinals. So do you think this kind of impacts the Rams a little bit?
Yes, it is. In fact, they're probably going to lose that game. I don't see them winning with a guy that's never even thrown a pass to the NFL. I think Arizona's going to win that game, assuming Murray starts. I'm not sure if he's been confirmed yet for
– No, Cliff Kingsbury is hopeful that he can play.
Yeah. Yeah, so they got to be careful with Murray, too. You don't want him to, like, suffer some terrible injury here at the end and all that just so they could get, like, a 7-seed wild card spot. So, yeah, so we'll see what happens. I think this is a big blow to the Rams, though, and assuming they make the playoffs, you hope Goff is back or else they're really toast.
Yeah, I mean, Goff would like to be back by the playoffs, but here's the playoff picture in the NFC. So you I'm on the playoff picture right now, so I'm looking at it right now. So you got the Packers, Saints, Seahawks already clinching their divisions, and then we still have to have a NFC East winner be decided with the Washington football team still in first place. Tampa Bay has the 5 seed. The 6 seed belongs to the Rams, and the Bears can clinch a playoff spot with a win as well.
Yeah, so I think we got a lot going on there. We're going to have some pretty good finishes here, especially I think in the AFC with that four-way race between the Browns, Ravens, Colts, and Dolphins for those final 3 spots out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be fun, but we'll talk about those picks in just a minute. So we'll break down the AFC playoff race in just a minute. So the Chargers, however, continue to play for a top 10 draft pick, but they beat the Denver Broncos 19-16. So the Chargers, are they just playing for pride at this point? Are they just trying to do this so that they can convince the front office that they want to give Anthony Lynn one more chance?
Yes. I would just say this. Teams don't want to go out there and tank. I mean, these guys, they don't know if they're going to be playing next year on that team. I mean, why do they want to help out their current team? And that's not – and the coaches don't want to do it either. They don't want to lose games. They want to go out there and win. Look at the Jets. They won 2 in a row even after they could have gotten Trevor Lawrence, who could have transformed their organization. It's like still teams don't want to lose in that situation. So players and coaches don't want to tank. And – I think fans should stop rooting for their team to lose. I think that draft position doesn't matter. I would say that the rare exception is if maybe, if a guy like Trevor Lawrence is staring at you, if you have the worst record in the NFL, that might be a reason to tank. But it doesn't matter if you are picking 4th or 10th or – sometimes even like 2nd or 6th, it just doesn't in the long run. So fans need to stop, and sports commentators need to stop talking about rooting for teams to tank. It's not good.
No, it's not. I mean, you still have to play hard, but there's fans. I get fans why they want their teams to tank. It's because they want a good draft pick.
Yeah, they
do. It's not the, like in the NFL, there's no draft lottery.
Uh-huh.
You still want to, they want teams to lose games so that they can get a better draft pick.
Yeah.
So you just don't want fans to start tank, to stop cheering on their teams to lose games so that they can get a better draft selection.
Yeah.
So you think that's just, yeah, like I was watching highlights on the Jags and Bears game. Fans were cheering on the Bears scoring a touchdown because they were very happy about that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So they should stop that, like you said.
I believe so, yes.
So next, let's talk about last night's Monday Night Football game. It shows you the Bills made a statement against the team that I love so dearly, the New England Patriots. But the Patriots, they scored one touchdown, but in the rest of the game, they put me to sleep.
Yeah, that was a blowout. That was a statement win for the Bills. And, you know, with the Patriots, I'll say that, you know, there's a lot of concern there because, you know, it's easy to throw Cam Newton under the bus. And for sure, like, I think he has 5 touchdown passes this year. I mean, that's terrible, even if you take out the fact that he missed a couple of games for COVID. You know, it's really bad. But there's bigger concerns with the Patriots, too. They don't have any playmakers on offense. I mean, there are none whatsoever. So Cam Newton is, you know, he has nothing to work with. And it's why Brady wanted out. Brady saw the writing on the wall. He said, I have no one in this organization that's going to help me win another Super Bowl, no one on offense that I can, you know, go out like a winner on. And you saw Tampa Bay had some of that, those guys, and then they ended up signing a couple of guys in free agency like Gronk and AB. And, you know, Brady made the right move for his career by going down there. But the Patriots, I mean, you can say that, you know, they had a lot of players opt out of this season because of COVID, but so maybe some of those guys will come back and they'll look a little bit better next year, but they have no playmakers on offense at all. And this offense is not looking good. Not just this year, but long-term, they're going to be struggling, I think.
I think they need to address that now so that they don't struggle long-term.
Yeah, and if you look at their division, it's, you know, the Bills are way above them right now. The Dolphins are above them, but not that far above them.
Not there. They're not there in competition yet, but they'll be good next year. They'll be even better next year.
The Dolphins?
Yeah.
Do you think – I'm worried about Tua. Are you worried about Tua at all?
No. I feel like that Brian Flores is coaching him correctly because sometimes if the Dolphins need a spark offensively at the end of the game, he trusts Fitzpatrick at times.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not worried about Tua.
Yeah, I kind of am. And I think you're right. I think Flores is really coaching him very well. I think there's no doubt about that. And to me, though, he's coaching him very well in the same way that, like, McVay coaches Goff very well. But you wonder, like, with Tua, I mean, he's been benched a couple of times. And I know those are probably situations where it's Flores has made the decision to put in Fitzpatrick because they have a better chance of winning. It's what happened in the Raiders game on Saturday. But, you know, it's concerning because he's had, on top of being benched a couple times, he's had a lot of 3-and-outs.
Well, there's a reason why he's had that. He's still learning the game. But I feel like that in a year or two, I feel like that he's going to be well-polished like how Josh Allen was developed.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. There's plenty of quarterbacks out there that have had a rough first year or
it's okay to have a rough first year or have a good first year. It's because you're still learning the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right about that. And you know, it's the other issue is, you know, I compare him to Herbert, who's like just torching it in his first year, you know. And he's doing that with, like, Anthony Lynn as his head coach, who's – I don't think he's that innovative. I don't think he's that – he's not that good of a game manager. And, you know, he's still putting up these really good – he's still putting up phenomenal numbers. I mean, he just set the rookie record on Sunday for touchdowns thrown. But with Tua, I feel like there's – you know, he has a lot of three and outs. He has a lot of – they're giving a lot of safe throws. They're not letting him, like, take risky plays or like – which could be a good thing, right? You don't want to, like – hurt the guy's confidence and not put him in a situation.
No, you don't. I mean, I am confident that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. I feel like that in this offseason, I feel like that the Dolphins are really going to help him out with weapons. And I feel like that with the Dolphins having two first-round picks, they're really going to use that first round to help him.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think he does need help, yeah.
Like, I feel like the Dolphins are going to get a receiver in one of their picks in the first round, like Jamar Chase in one of their picks in the top three, and then they bring in Najee Harris out of Alabama to reunite with Tua Tagovailoa so that we have an Alabama Crimson Tide reunion in Miami.
Yeah, could happen.
So that's what I see there, but I'm not too concerned about Tua right now. It's because he's only a rookie. But even though he keeps going three and out, I feel like that he's going through growing pains. People should just kind of calm down on him right now.
Yeah, I agree.
And give him a chance. I feel like I'm going to give it time. And I think that that Tua's, once they polish him with weapons in the next few two seasons, then I think the Dolphins will be like where the Bills are with Allen. That's my point right there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the Jets are a different story, so we'll talk about that in just in our game pick. So the Jets are a team that I kind of changed my mind on Sam Darnold. I feel like that the Jets, I thought that they would go in a massive overhaul at quarterback. I just think now the Jets keep Darnold, and then they help him out, whoever the new head coach is.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think that's probably their best move is to keep Darnold. Like, Darnold still has, like, good talent. If you put talent around guys around him, like, I think he would be very good. Like, look at what happened this past weekend when they beat the Browns. Baker Mayfield, who's having a very good year, he didn't have a couple of his offensive weapons. He was short, I think, like, three linemen or something like that. It was like four receivers and, like, one or two linemen. And, look, he struggled big time. Like, you take away someone's receivers, you take away part of their O-line, and they struggle. And that's what Sam Darnold has had to deal with all 3 years in New York. He hasn't had any playmakers. He hasn't had that good of an offensive line. And Darnold's still standing. So I feel like they need to give it one more shot with this new coach. Plus, I don't trust Justin Fields. So
you don't trust Justin Fields? I feel like a good spot for him would be Carolina.
Yeah, I think so. I think he needs to go somewhere with, I think, a really good, like Matt Rhule, a good offensive guy. I think he needs to go to a place like that. I don't think going to the Jets, that's not where Justin Fields, I think, needs to end up.
I feel like Justin Fields is going to be the best quarterback coming out of Ohio State, because I don't think Ohio State has polished very good quarterbacks that come into the NFL. I think Justin Fields has that potential to be the best one coming out of Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
I think he has a chance to be a franchise quarterback somewhere, but if it's the Jets, then it has to be a concern if he's a Jet, but I kind of feel like that he'll be a Carolina Panther, just because I feel like Teddy Bridgewater might not be their answer going forward.
Yeah, no, he's not their answer going forward.
His job by week one of 2021, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Just because Justin Fields is going to come in and kind of beat him out for the starting job, because Matt Rhule's going to want his own guy.
Yeah, I think so as well.
So with that being said, now let's talk about Sunday Night Football. So on this pick right here, there's no Thursday Night Football, but I don't know who I want to win this game. I mean, I don't know if Alex Smith's coming back. I don't know if I don't know if they're going to start Taylor Heinicke. The Washington football team moved on from Dwayne Haskins. That tells you that Haskins has never been a good quarterback in the NFL. He's just not yet ready.
Yeah, no, he had, I mean, serious lapse of judgment going to a strip club and not wearing a mask and then reporting to the practice facility, was it, and hoping he wasn't caught. Like, that's just – that is immaturity that you can't have at that as quarterback in the NFL. And I never liked Haskins, and this just confirms my belief that it was a mistake for him to be drafted into the NFL.
Absolutely. But I also feel like that the Washington football team's going to need a new quarterback by next season. And I don't think – I like Alex Smith starting, but I think Alex Smith at this point is a backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's old is what it is. And it just you need someone more dynamic down there that's, you know, that is more of a long-term solution for Ron Rivera.
Yeah, Rivera's going to need to do that in the offseason. He's got to keep his eyes out on North Dakota State's Trey Lance. You know? Oh, can you hear me? Matt, can you hear me? So, Matt, with that being said, can you hear me, Matt? Matt, can you hear me? So I was saying to Matt that we were talking.